Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
We want to encourage the women's retreat will be open. It's an open registration. You don't have to be part of Living Waters Church if you know somebody that just needs some healing. Chris has a real anointing and insight into people, and I know that it's just going to be really a cool time. So, Henry is around. Oh, a little bit too obvious. Come on up.
A mirror on your rearview mirror, right? No. Well, let's have the ushers come forward, and if anybody needs an envelope, please let the ushers know. They'll give you an envelope. And just want to encourage you today. You know, at the beginning, Dave shared some things about how things are going in the world and, you know, locally and around the world. Some people with housing problems and job problems and all kinds of stuff going on. And just want to give testimony for our family. It 3 days ago, the 25th, was the 2 year anniversary since the Lord released me from working the JOB, and just over broke. And if you've ever wondered what those initials stand for, and you know, he's been good. We're thanking the Lord for the manna, for the provision that He's given, and looking for the promised land. And that's what all of us are looking for. We're looking for, you know, the fullness, not just financially, but we're looking for the fullness in families and in restoration of lives and in health and all those areas. And I believe it begins with a giving heart back to God. And as we draw closer to Him, that He draws closer to us and takes care of our needs, and that we don't see those needs as big as they can loom up in front of us. So let's just join together and with Father, we just thank You for Your provision for us, for our families, for us individually, for our church, for our nation, Lord. You have blessed us in so many ways. Help us to get our focus off of the things that we don't have, the things that aren't here yet, the provision that has not shown up yet, whether that's financial or families or health or jobs, whatever that might be, Lord. Help us to focus on the provision that we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to focus on the provision of the kingdom that we have here with You now, not just someday when we go to meet You in heaven, Lord, but that we can experience the revelation and the peace that You want to have for us now in this time, in this age. And we thank You for that. And we give You praise. Thank You, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank everybody who signed up for sharing your gifts in ministry last week. We had just a really cool response, and a lot of things that it takes to run a house. Many of you stepped up to the plate, and we so appreciate that. Does anybody have a testimony this morning? I still feel like there's something. I still feel like there's something out here. Does anybody have a testimony of a healing? Or, all right, you can go up there now. Oh, yeah, it's plugged in.
I just told someone. I got word on Thursday morning that complicated close family friend, my ex-husband's first wife, Glenda, after I divorced Tony, we raised our kids together, babysat each other's kids. So dysfunctional as all that is, she's very much a free spirit, hard drinker. her family planned an intervention, golly, 20-something years ago. She took off for Reno, Nevada, and has continued her lifestyle. So she usually calls everybody she loves when she's drunk, I mean really drunk. But when she was younger, she had a valve replacement in her heart, and she was told that she would need that change or replaced at some point. Thursday morning, I found out that she had a major heart attack last Tuesday, and then two more, and she's 54 years old. And I had prayed with her either in the late 80s or 90s on one of those phone calls when she called me drunk, and she said, "Candy, I want what you have." I said, "Glenda, it's yours. All you got to do is ask for it." And I prayed with her, but then her number three husband walked in the door, and then the phone call ended. So it was a quick prayer, but I don't know how well it took. And then she's continued on her hard drinking. So Jim told me not to come. He said, the doctor said there's nothing there. But anyway, I'm just calling to let people know. And anyway, they're going to take her off life support on, what day was that, Ron? Friday noon, yeah. It took me 3 hours to find an airplane ticket that I didn't have to transfer 2-3 times because it's rare that you get anywhere on the scheduled time. So I took the first one I could find. It was at the back of the plane, the very last ticket, and it got me there at 1:15. So I went to work Thursday evening, and I called Jim, and I said, "I'm getting there at 1:15. He goes, "That's too late. It's all over. We're doing it at noon." And I said, "Well, you do what you got to do." And I bit my tongue because I wanted to say, "Because she'll wait for me." And then I didn't say that, though. But and then he just kind of sounded reserved. And so I get there at 1:15, and the whole plane ride, I just was in the presence of the Lord, and I'm not a real good talker. I mean, so I pray in the Spirit. And so anyway, I get there, 1:15. Well, then they tell me that the my luggage, being I'm the last person, there's no more room for my luggage. And I just said to the attendant, I said, I'm trying to get to someone that they're taking life support off at noon. I get there at 1:15. Is there any way? She opens up her own little closet, takes her stuff out, and puts my luggage back there. So that saved me time. So anyway, I get there to the hospital at 1:45, and now as a nurse, I'm thinking, okay, if she passed, she may be gone, and I may never get to see her again, her body, or hopefully her body would still be there and her family would be there. Or I didn't know what to expect. And the Lord, my spirit was just quiet. I didn't have any, the Lord didn't give me any, he didn't tell me what was going to happen. So I walk up and I'm thinking, how come there's no locked doors, no, you know, how ICU is. And so I walk in and I get to her door and I look and there's a body on the bed and the ventilator's still going.
Awesome.
So I look there, and then I look, and the desk is right here. So I turn, and I got my luggage thing behind me, and I said, "Where's Glenda's family?" And they looked, "Are you family?" I said, "Well, no, it's complicated, but I'm a close family friend." And I said, "What happened to taking her off life support at noon?" And the nurse said, "She woke up." So with that, I turn from the nurse and look at Glenda. And then her foot flexes. Now, there's reflexive actions, and then there's purposeful movement. And she flexed her foot, and then in a separate movement, raised her right leg off the bed and put it down. Not together, not a jerky, like a seizure type of thing. And I mean, I knew it. I said, those are purposeful movements. Now, when you have a major cardiac arrest, the brain doesn't supposedly get blood. So Now, I was only there a half hour, and I was, what can you say? It's God is almighty. So then the respiratory therapist comes in, and boy, oh boy, do they wake up with that, because on the vent, they suction them. And so before that, I was holding her hand. I said, Glenda, Candy, it's Candy, I'm here. And I could see her eyes flicker, but she didn't open her eyes. And I felt a little squeeze on the hand, but that was it. The respiratory therapist comes in, and wham, those eyes open. And she looks at me, and she wears glasses, and she didn't have them on. And she looked at me, and then I saw it go across her face, because I'm sure what she was thinking, oh, God, if Candy's here, it's really bad, you know. Because, so I'm crying, and I just started praying in the spirit over her. When all else fails and if you're like me and don't have strong words, just pray in the spirit, because it's the perfect way. So my time with her that way, with the respiratory therapist was there, and I was trying to explain our relationship. And so this was the next day. The next day I went, and respiratory therapist came. She woke up again. And so I'm holding her hand, and he's saying, now tell me, what's your relationship with her again? And I said, well, I think she was married to Tony in 72. And I said, Glenda, I said, was it 72? And she raises her eyebrows like that. And I said, see, she's there. She's there. So anyway, okay, so then the first day I get off, I'm just exhausted. I've got my luggage and I'm just wheeling it. And I get out and I'm trying to use my cell phone, because now I got my three kids to call, because they're all expecting the death news, you know. And I called our ex-husband, and I called his mom, because they've remained close. So I'm out of the hospital, and you know how you are when you're just, your adrenaline's going. So I got the cell phone to my thing. It's windy. I got the cell phone to my thing. I'm dragging my suitcase behind me and walking in circles. I bet it was just quite the sight, because I was just laughing so hard in the spirit. I called Ron. It was just hilarious. It was just a hilarious time. But God is so, so awesome. And what a time we're living in. And we get the... Anyway.
I'm writing some guidelines for the treasure hunt, and one of the points that the Lord gave me, he said, it is impossible for a child of the King to pray and not move the hand of God.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, we've been talking a little bit lately about who we are as a church, what's our vision, what has God given us, why are we here, what's the purpose of Living Waters Church in the year 2010 in Elk River, Minnesota. And, you know, we know that one of the major calls that we have into this city is to serve this city with revival, to be an outlet where we can kind of push the edge on some things. If you're a little bit new here and this service was a little bit different to you, it's because we just don't want to do what we've always done. The reason is that we want to, find where the heartbeat of God is. I'm so much more interested in finding the heartbeat of God for any particular service, any time that we have together, than I am in having some kind of a slick, worked-out message. I'll be honest with you, a pastor shouldn't be this honest, but I'm going to be this honest. I have been clueless with what I was going to do today. I knew we had communion.
And it doesn't happen to me very often. I usually know pretty much where things are going to go, what things are going to happen. But I think that we're living in a season where we need to feel comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, it wasn't comfortable for Candy to go 2,000 miles, however far, Arizona, was it? Nevada. Okay, further yet. It's not a comfortable thing to jump on an airplane and go to see somebody who is dying on their deathbed. You don't know if you're going to get there or not. And it's not comfortable dragging your stuff all over the place. But there's something about walking with Christ that you're at your best, you're at your finest when you don't have a clue. You know, and for us Americans who like to have everything worked out ahead of time, for those of us that like to know where we're going, what we're doing, we've got to have purpose, sometimes it's just uncomfortable to be in a position where you just don't know what's going to happen. Now, I don't believe that that always happens. There are times where, as a pastor, I know what God's going to do, and I can follow that way, and I can navigate between things that are going to happen. But today, I'll be honest with you, I was really listening to see, God, where do you want to go with this? What do you want to do? And here's what I'm hearing the Lord saying. Dave, you've been talking about revival. You've been talking about this is a church of revival. And in many ways, I'm prophesying that. I know that we aren't in the fullness of revival yet. I'm not going to try to kid ourselves. We've had some astounding things happen. Last night we had a revival fire meeting. And several people got healed. Several people, you know, in fact, my knee, I wasn't able to do this. And I can do it now. I mean, it got healed. And so we're seeing some tremblings, kind of like the earthquakes that have been going. We're seeing some tremblings. We're seeing some undergroanings. We're seeing some things happening. But there's something in my heart says that there's still more to come. And if there's anything I know about revival is if we try to plan it out, if we try to figure it out, if we ever come to the place where we feel like we've got this thing nailed down, then we're going to lose. And there are times where I have to be able to stand before a congregation and say, you know what, guys, I'm clueless. I don't know what's going on. I hope you don't think anything less of me for that. But it reminded me, really, of what we've been talking about throughout the last month. Remember, we're talking about a prosperous soul. We're talking about what it means to be a body, what it means to be a family. And then God is going to give us a heart for the poor. And we're on this journey where we're starting to see some of that. In the context of that, we've been talking about who are we as a family? What's our vision? And part of our vision is part of what we know that we're called to in this city is to be an outlet of revival. And for those who are scared with the word revival, because it just conjures up all sorts. How many have been in revival? Have you ever been in revival and all sorts of weird stuff happens? And have you, like me, questioned, is that God or isn't that God? Is that real or isn't that real? Is that the flesh or is that the spirit? And, you know, I've just kind of come to the place where I know it's really not mine to judge. I mean, there are some things that I will need to take care of. There's some things that I'll need to fix as being a pastor. And there's some things that, you know, weird stuff can happen that'll have to be defined. The question is, are we willing to pay the price of uncertainty to be able to press into that which is certain? Are we willing to be in a position of discomfort in order to bring the comforter? The lost and dying world. See, what we've got a whole world of people like Candy is talking about. When we talk about our, let me read our vision statement here at Living Waters Church. Here's our vision statement. We purpose to be a Christ-centered community of people who are co-laboring with the Holy Spirit to transform the world's wounded into God's warriors. We're dedicated to offering a pathway for spiritual growth that will disciple, equip, and mobilize believers to be fruitful members of God's kingdom,
providing opportunities to serve in our church, our communities, and in the nations. Transforming the world's wounded into God's warriors. Co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. Now, this thing of co-laboring is a mystery to me. And what part is God's part? What part is your part? Have you ever said, well, it's not me, it's got to be God, or else it's not going to happen? See, and that's a false statement. That's a lie. God will not do it without you, and you can't do it without God. There's this co-laboring with the Holy Spirit that can bring us into a position of insight and moving in the gifts of the Spirit that are able to work healing and correction in people's lives. There are several visions that have been over Living Waters. One of them that sticks out so plain to me, Luke Anderson had it many years ago, and the vision was of the picture of a hospital. But it was a really rough hospital. It was a MASH unit. It was a mobile unit that was right out in the field, and there were bloody people coming in, torn up people coming in. And the medical unit was really a bare bones unit. But they were still stopping the bleeding. They were stopping people from dying. That's one vision. A little while later, and I'm not sure the time frame on this, I wasn't part of the church at that time. He had another vision of a hospital. This time the vision of the hospital was of a well-equipped, fully furnished, a clean hospital. And there were doctors, and there were nurses, and they were not just the stopgap measures of stopping people from dying, but they were actually bringing healing and bringing wholeness. Now, many of us can testify that when we came into this church, we were hurting. I know a lot of our stories. I know where I came from. It's unfortunate, but in the Church of Jesus Christ, it seems like there's all sorts of opportunity for hurt. There's all sorts of opportunity to be wounded, even by those who love you and who you love. In fact, the wounds that hurt the most are inflicted by the ones that love you. There's nobody in this world that can affect me more than my wife, with her words, how she feels about me. And there's probably nobody that can affect her more than my words and how she feels about me. There's a danger of coming into a family. When we talk about what does God want to show us about being a family, see, there's a risk in loving one another. There's a risk of saying, yeah, I want to be part of that family. There's a risk in saying, I want to be connected to you as a family of God. The problem with risk is until you take it, you don't really understand the rewards. And the rewards are so much greater than the risks. There have been many people that have come into this place from other places and that have just been wounded. And I don't even say it was the other place's fault. Many times it's our own illnesses. It's our own diseases that cause those things. It really doesn't matter. We're all human beings made of clay. We're all people. You know, we hurt and we're hurt. And if we think that we're the ones that are always in the right and we haven't hurt anybody else, we're absolutely wrong. We're deceived. See, but in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, there's just grace for that stuff. There's forgiveness for that stuff. There's a place where you rise up into the atmosphere of the kingdom of God where you just realize that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the hurt that happened to me really doesn't matter as much as how I handle the hurt. And the hurt that I've inflicted isn't as big a deal as how I take care of the hurt that I've inflicted. See, and there's this hospital atmosphere that you have to be free in your soul to be able to walk like that and to talk like that. There's a freedom, a liberty in the inner man that needs to be healed for us to be able to really be honest with those things. So we've had a picture of a hospital. We want to turn God's wounded into God's warriors. Many times, it's the people of God that are the wounded. Now, we can look at the lost that just don't know Jesus, and we understand that. But somehow we hold ourselves to a higher level of accountability, which we should in the body of Christ. See, the lost, they're just doing what they're just doing what they know how to do. They can't do anything other than walk in sin. Is this making sense? See, we want to be critical of the homosexual. We want to be critical of the person that's been divorced. We want to be critical of President Obama. We want to be critical of all these people who have let us down that don't hold to our standards. But many times we're being critical of a people that don't have what it takes inside of them, being reborn, that can understand the things of God. And they don't have that in them, and so they fall. And we spend so much time being critical of the world and being critical of policies and people. See, God hasn't called us to be critical. God's called us to love one another. God's called us to love the lost. And part of being a hospital is when you can be whole enough to come into a place where you have an absolute compassion like Jesus did, where he saw the sheep. He saw the people like sheep without a shepherd, scattered, weary, harassed by the enemy. So God has called us a hospital. God's called us a place of deliverance. Again, I'm just sharing some of the vision, some of what many of you are a little bit newer here, and I just want to lay out some of the things that have been spoken over this house over the years so you understand who we are and why we do what we do. We've been called a place of deliverance. You know, in America, we really don't think of deliverance. We think of Africa. We think where demons are screaming. We think of people levitating as demons are being cast out. We think of, you know, just all the stuff that you can imagine, you know, heads spin around, puking green, all the stuff that Hollywood's made it. But we as a nation have opened ourselves up to some things in the last 100 years that have allowed for some real demonic strongholds. We are going to be needing to see a people who are healed enough to be able to confront demonic demons, manifestations. Now, I'm not asking for that. I'm not welcoming that. I'm just saying this is a reality. If we're going to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and minister like Jesus, if we're going to do the works of Jesus, then we're going to be confronting some pretty ugly stuff from the dark side. See, but there's a healing. There's an anointing upon you as a believer in Jesus Christ that you can do these things. There's a treasure buried within each and every one of you that you can walk in the truth and in the reality of the kingdom of God. One of the other words, and this is really one of my favorite words that has been spoken over this house, and to me, this is the big thing. This is the thing that everything else happens from. Chuck Pierce was in town, and he prophesied over this house that this would be a place where his presence would be known. This would be a place where his presence could be experienced. Now, I don't know about you guys, but there's nothing. There's no higher privilege and calling that we could have than that people could come in here and be touched by the tangible presence of a living God. To me, there just isn't anything else. If there's anything that I'd just die for, when it comes to the kingdom, that's something that I'll lose my reputation for. That's something that I'll run the risk of people thinking that we're these kooks who allow people to bark like dogs or do knee jerks or whatever stuff that happens in revival that people question.
Because in his presence, people are healed. In his presence, people are set free. In his presence, all of a sudden the hurts, the things at one time shook us up and bothered us, no longer have an effect. It's like the dog doesn't have a bite anymore. In his presence, you gain understanding of things that you just would never have known before. In his presence, you begin to read his character. In his presence, you begin to understand that he's a God with a good heart that wants to do good things. And you understand that he's a God that's in a good mood. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. There is no more complete joy. And I don't care if you're in his presence here or in your closet at home. It really doesn't matter. But in his presence, having a place where his presence can dwell. See, I just don't have a lot of confidence in anything else. I don't have a lot of confidence in religion and form and ritual. And, you know, I may from time to time stand up here clueless with what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say. But I wouldn't trade having a slickness that would replace the presence of God. I'm just bearing my heart. The stuff that we thought was important at one time just doesn't carry that much weight anymore. These days are too short. These days are too desperate. Three husbands, three wives, you know, and there are probably people sitting here that have had three husbands, three wives. I really don't care. I don't judge that stuff. But I do want to see it healed. I want to see the reason why there were three husbands, three wives healed. I want to see the reason why somebody's taken on a sexually perverse lifestyle. I want to see the reason for that healed. I don't really care about the end result. We're in the pursuit of something. That's really not a something, it's a someone. And we're in pursuit of a presence that's going to make a difference in people's lives. Just want to read Isaiah chapter 61, and this is really one of our key scriptures to our vision. Very familiar. Jesus read this, almost lost his head for it. People got angry at him. But there's a boldness raising up in the people of God, those who are sons, those who are daughters, those who know the inheritance that we have received, those that know the thoroughness of the working of the cross of Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus read these words in the synagogue, you can read these words over yourself. See, Jesus said, the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. Jesus just came and modeled a life for us that he fully expects us to live, that he fully expects us to walk in. So Jesus read these words. You can speak these words over yourself. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. There is an anointing on you that comes from the kingdom of God, that comes from the throne of God, that comes through the inheritance, that comes through the DNA of the Lord God Almighty who born you again. There's an impartation and an anointing that is resident upon the people of God. And it's an anointing that has tried to be hidden. It's an anointing that there's tried to be deception against it. Everything in this life is going to fight against the anointing that is upon you. It's there to preach good tidings to the poor. The message you have is a good message. I mean, it's good news. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted,
He's sent you to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. How many know that for every person that you deliver from the jaws of the enemy, that's a day of vengeance upon the Lord's enemy? When you preach the gospel and somebody commits their life to Jesus Christ, that's the day of vengeance. See, I'm not waiting for a day of vengeance. And I know that there is a day of vengeance coming. But you know what? People of God have got to start taking vengeance on the kingdom of darkness now. When somebody gets a new heart, when somebody gets a new leg, we had a leg grow out last night. And, you know, when those, that's taking vengeance on the kingdom of God, of darkness. To comfort those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. It's all about him. It's all about his glory. It's all about his majesty. You know, if we feel like we're a little bit fanatical in worship, it's because he's worthy. There is no other reason. That's because his presence just brings a revelation of his worth, of his worthiness. When we've done those things, then it takes a shift here. Verse 4. Then those to whom you've poured out that anointing upon will rebuild the old ruins. Isn't that good? It's like me having a son. It's like me taking and building a house so far and my son coming and finishing it and making it magnificent. Those to whom you preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to, those that you are able to work in their lives healing. How many know emotional healing is just as big a deal as a physical healing? A spiritual healing is just as big a deal. And I don't discount any of it. I celebrate it all. I love it all. But how many know that when people get healed, it's not for the purpose of for them to sit in a hospital? If you're normal, you look for the day that you can get out of the hospital, that you can start living life. See, and that's the privilege of preaching the gospel, is because those to whom you preach the gospel are going to rebuild the old ruins. They'll rise up the former desolations, they'll repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. We're going to celebrate communion today. Kids are all filtering back in, all the kids, even Sean and Tammy. We're going to be celebrating communion today, but as we celebrate communion today, would you allow the broken body of the Lord Jesus to become a reality to you? You see, we can just approach this meal that we're taking together, this breaking of bread. We can approach it with just, it's another religious thing. The roast is in the oven. We got to get going. You know, and I know we're going to be just a little bit late. Please, please, just consume the Lord Jesus in this moment. Consider the broken body of Jesus. Consider the sacrifice. Consider his son that he broke so that you could have healing in your body. I am fully convinced that as we approach this meal with faith, I'm fully convinced that if you need healing in your body, if you need healing in your emotions, if you need healing in your spirit man, and it just seems like God is really emphasizing through this service today that there's healing, there's an impartation of healing that God wants to bring. I'm fully convinced that if we will break this bread and drink this wine with faith, that it is going to nourish us with strength. I'm not preaching pie in the sky. I'm preaching a real conviction that I have. This is more than just bread and wine here. This is a celebration of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the life that we now live. What if the teams had come forward? We have an open communion here. If you know the Lord Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus in your life, you're just very, very welcome to have communion with us. We trust that parents will know and take care of their kids, whether they're ready for communion or that's really a father and a mother's decision. It's not mine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just ponder in our hearts. Let's just worship. The Scripture says that we should examine ourselves and make sure that we're receiving this supper in a worthy manner. I want to encourage you, if you've got things, issues, stuff in your life, just repent. Just get it right with God. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And as he broke it, So this is my body that was broken for you. As often as you eat this, do it in remembrance of me. So Lord Jesus, we remember you in this supper. We remember your broken body. We remember the stripes that were blown on your back. We remember the crown of thorns. The beating that you took in your face, being spit upon, being reviled. Perfect Son of God, willingly broken for us, for the healing of the nations. Lord, we thank you for your broken body. Bless it now and strengthen it to us physically, spiritually, emotionally. In Jesus' name. Let's eat together. In the same way, Jesus took the cup and said to his disciples, "This is the cup of the new covenant, covenant of my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So Jesus, again, we come in remembrance of the shed blood of Jesus, your shed blood, your blood that was spilled. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God, we thank you that our sin, though they were as scarlet, are white as snow. We thank you for the complete, finished work of the cross. We thank you for the covenant that we now enjoy with the God of the universe, the God of all creation, the Father of everything living. Lord, that this agreement, sealed by the blood of Jesus, is more real than anything in this world, in this life. Lord, I pray health and healing as we drink this cup, as we covenant with you through this cup. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Jesus, we love you. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together. I want to encourage you. We'll have teams up front here to pray. If you need healing, if you need emotional, spiritual, physical, any kind of healing, we'll have some teams up front here. We want to welcome you to come on up. There's some coffee out in the lobby. Just love on each other, fellowship with one another. Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, we thank you for the awesomeness of your presence. God, it's just amazing to be in your presence, to be in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I pray that you bless each one here. God, I pray that you just minister this word throughout the week. God, I pray that your presence would become more and more real in each of our lives. God, that the anointing that comes from on high would rest upon each of these who are called by your name. And Father, that we would see people set free. That we'd see people healed in our workplaces, in our schools, in our businesses. Wherever we're at, Lord, that we're carriers of this anointing. Father, teach us to release it with effectiveness. I bless this body in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love on each other. Some coffee out there. If you need prayer, come on up.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.